It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
It's that time of year again, where states are offering free fishing days and weekends throughout the country. This weekend alone, you can go fishing either today if you're a Saturday listener or, in some cases, both Saturday and Sunday in the states of Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, Missouri, Nevada, Tennessee, and Washington. Many other states had their free fishing days last weekend, and Montana will have their free fishing weekend over Father's Day weekend. Now, some of you think this is a weekend for cheapskates, anglers who are too lazy to pay the freight and buy a fishing license. In reality, though, this is a weekend to introduce someone new to the sport of fishing and get them hooked. How do you go about this? Here's a few suggestions. First off, do everything you can to ensure success. Don't take someone out for a day of fishing for muskie, steelhead, or tarpon where one strike is considered a good day. Nope, what we're talking about here is fun fishing with lots of bites and lots of fights. I'm talking about trout. Yes, that includes stock trout or panfish like bluegill and crappie or maybe shad, which are running in abundance at this time of year. An old outdoors writer friend of mine, Terry Sheely, says, "I don't care how old you are, you never get tired of watching that bobber go under." And you know what? Terry's right. Make it a half-day outing, too. Don't overdo it. Dress for the weather, bring plenty of liquids and snacks, and maybe top it off with a stop at a favorite drive-in or diner on the way out or the way back. In other words, make it fun. So much fun that the angler with you, young or old, whether they've never fished before or haven't fished for years, can't wait to plunk down their money for a license and do it again. As Linus might say, if this was a Christmas time cartoon, that's what free fishing is all about, Charlie Brown. Speaking of fishing, we are going to give away some lures this weekend to one lucky listener, so you may want to go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio to like and follow it now, or go to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com because we'll give you details on how you can enter for a chance to win in just a minute. The lures we're giving away are brand new, and they are meant to catch big fish. And one person who might want to use them is Charlie Moore. He's the star of the syndicated television show, Charlie Moore, No Offense, which is a combination fishing, travel, and fine dining experience every week. Charlie, who hails from New England, will join us today to tell you more about his fun-to-watch program and let you know some of his favorite places to fish. Continuing with fishing, I just watched one of my favorite films, A River Runs Through It, again, and that gave me a sudden urge to go to Montana and cast a fly in a classic western stream for trout. With that in mind, we'll be checking in with Dan Lowmiller at the River's Edge Fly Shop in Bozeman, Montana, to see how the fishing is right now in Big Sky Country and where you might want to cast a fly around there for trout as the summer progresses. Finally, we've got a conservation story that will be of interest no matter where you live. Last week, we talked about derelict fish nets and how they keep killing marine life as they drift through our oceans. This week, we'll tell you about the huge problem posed by lost crab pots. They're not so much abandoned at the bottom of the sea as they are lost due to mistakes made, in many cases, by recreational crabbers. But those lost crab pots, they continue to kill marine life and crabs and can have a huge effect on crab populations, from blue crabs in Maryland's Chesapeake Bay to Dungeness and Red Rock crab in Washington's Puget Sound. Jason Morgan with the Northwest Straits Foundation will share more information about this issue and what's being done to limit the damage on our ocean floors. But before we get into all of this, let's introduce you to a fine fisherman and some brand new fishing lures. In my hands, I've got four brand new Rapala Super Shad Wraps. These are big lures, 5.5 inches long. They've got a brand new HD finish. And with us here to tell you more about what you can catch with them is pro staffer Brad Peterson. Brad, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So, Brad, you hail from Platteville, Colorado. You're a walleye tournament angler. You fish waters throughout the Rockies and the Midwest for walleye, muskie, and more. You also do a lot of work to promote fishing at events throughout the nation. Have you fished these lures before, and exactly what are you targeting with these big lures?
Yes, I have. You know, the super shad wraps have been around for a while, but these new HD colors that you're talking about are, they're amazing what they're doing with these new finishes. I started off fishing this super shad wrap, over 10 years ago for pike and muskie. And they're a great lure to fish over top of the weed beds. When you're casting shallow rocks, they kind of run that 5 to 9 foot depth. But while I was doing that, I also was picking up a lot of big walleyes, you know, the 4 pound plus walleyes that a lot of people are just super excited to catch. And then also big bass, you know, your 3 pound plus bass. So, you know, a light went off, and I've started to fish these not only for pike and muskie, but for big walleyes. We've got a couple lakes here locally that are known for walleyes over 30 inches and large bass. And while I was doing that, I also started pitching them in the spring and fall for lake trout when they're shallow, and they love them as well.
Absolutely amazing, but I can see why. I mean, the finish on these, ultra realistic, and just looking at it, it looks like they would hold up pretty well, even to the teeth of a pike or a muskie. Is that true?
They do. They handle that abuse as good as just about any lure out there. And one of the nice things that I like about these lures is you can fish them in a couple different ways. You can go out and cast them and straight retrieve them. They've got a great action that way. They work good as a trolling bait, particularly in the fall for muskies when you're fishing the rocks and for big walleyes. And then the other thing I like to do with them is more of a reel and pause. And when you pause with these, they float up, but they have a really enticing wobble as they're floating up to help trigger some strikes. And when the fish aren't quite as active, that little pause and wobble triggers a lot of strikes from big fish.
Well, that sounds like a great tip. Something else that stands out on these lures that I'm looking at, the hooks. These are some very beefy hooks. I don't think you have to worry about these bending out at all, do you?
No, you don't have to worry about them bending out at all. The one thing I do recommend with any big hook like that, particularly if you're fishing rocky cover, you know, you're going to be bouncing the lure off either the rocks on the shore or the rocks on the bottom. So those hooks can, over time, lose their point just a little bit. So keep an eye on the hook. The nice thing about those heavy hooks is just a couple strokes with a file and they're going to be super sharp again, because when a fish bites this, these are the type of fish that are going to be posted on your Facebook page. They're the ones you want bragging about, and you hate to lose a fish from having a dull hook.
All right, so Brad, these super shad wraps are made of balsa. They're floating lures, 5.5 inches long. As you said, they'll catch pike, they'll catch muskie, they'll catch lake trout, big bass, big walleye. Are they out in stores yet?
The original super shad wrap is out in the stores. The HD colors, there are a few of them that are out, and the rest of them are coming out or should be out at any time. So keep your eyes open for them. Rapala has really put a push on getting these new HD finishes, and they're in the original shad wraps, in the original Rapala minnows, in a lot of the different lures in their line. And so you can see what they look like, use them in some of the other ones, but the super shad wraps, they're coming out. If your store doesn't have them, ask them about them, because they are a fish catching lure.
So, folks, if you want to win this 4-pack of Rapala Super Shad Wraps, here's what you do. Go to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Send us an email and let us know that you want to win. Let us know where you're from in terms of what station you're listening to, and you're entered. You can do the same thing on our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. I do want you to like our page first and follow us, then look for the post where we have this, and give us that same information. Let us know where you're tuning in from, and you are entered for a chance to win the Rapala Super Shad Wrap 4-pack we have here. Each of these lures is worth about $15. So this is a $60 lure package giveaway for one lucky listener this weekend. It's the Rapala Super Shad Wrap. They catch fish. And as you just heard from a man who's been using them, they catch big fish too. Brad, thanks for telling us about this today on America Outdoors Radio.
Glad to do it.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. Fish Fighter products are used by the top fishing guides in the Northwest because they know having the right equipment is imperative to a successful fishing trip. With our Relentless Series tackle trays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. And for our next stop, we're taking you to Big Sky Country, Bozeman, Montana, arguably one of the best places to go fly fishing for trout in the entire nation. Our guest is Dan Lowmiller. He's one of the owners of the River's Edge Fly Shop in Bozeman. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Dan, let's get a current fishing report. I understand the rivers have been really, really high in southwest Montana.
Yeah, we're just beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We had some record snowfalls in parts of the state, and we've had very high water in most all of our rivers. But as time goes on, things are starting to clear, and we actually have a few rivers that are fishable right now.
And I'm curious about that. What actually is fishable right now in the first couple weeks of June?
So the Madison River, a portion we call the Lower Madison, which is north of Ennis Lake, is fishable right now. It's high, it's off color, but people are catching fish. The fish are close to the banks. We're using mostly nymphing, lots of weight, but we are catching fish. The other rivers around that are fishable are, we have a couple of tailwaters. One is the Missouri River, which is just north of us up by Helena, Montana. Again, real high flows, but being below the dam, it's clear. Just long leaders, lots of weight, and heavy flies are the best.
Now, I know as June turns into July, you're going to be getting lots of folks at the fly shop asking where to go to get into some rainbow trout, some cutthroat trout, some brown trout. What are the most popular fishing rivers around Bozeman? Is Madison one of them?
Yes, the Madison's one, and that's west of us, about 25 miles. And the other one is the Yellowstone River, which is east of us, about 25 miles. So those are our two main floatable rivers. They're big enough to float. You can also wade fish them. The other river is the Gallatin River, which is about 10 miles to the west, and that's very popular wade fishery. It's a little small to float, so most people will, you know, walk wade that one. But those are our three main rivers.
Now, I had the opportunity to fish the Yellowstone a couple years ago, and this tells you what kind of fly fisherman I am. My partner, he was catching cutthroat trout all day. I was catching whitefish all day, which tells you I'm not that good. But when it comes to the Gallatin, when it comes to the Madison, are we talking rainbows? Are we talking cuts? And are we talking any brown trout at all?
Yeah, in the Madison River, it's primarily brown trout and rainbows. There's more rainbows than browns, so you'd probably see in your catch more rainbows than browns, but that can change on a given day. There are a few cutthroat, but the majority of the fish you're going to catch are going to be rainbows, browns. And then all of our rivers have whitefish, and depending on the day, you might have a bunch of those mixed in.
Well, and folks, don't get me wrong. Whitefish, they're fun to catch. You're basically fishing on the fly. It's all catch and release anyway, so it's a ton of fun. When it comes to getting on these rivers, whether it be the Gallatin, the Yellowstone, or the Madison, is this easy for do-it-yourself anglers? And we'll start with bank anglers. How much bank access is available on these streams? And if they are a bank angler, where are you sending them to?
So in Montana, our stream access law says that if you can access the river at a public point, be it public land, a bridge, road easement, then as long as you stay within the normal high water marks, you can fish any river in the state. And so most of our rivers have a tremendous amount of access, be it fishing accesses or just highway access, national forest. And so primarily if you're looking to wade fish, we're probably sending you to the Gallatin River or over to the Madison River. And those are our two major ones that we're doing. And there's a tremendous amount of public access, easy to find places to get on. And then once you're on, you can go as far as you can walk as long as you stay within the normal high water marks.
And let's talk about drift boat anglers. You know, are there some rivers you're steering people clear of that maybe they've never been on the river before? There might be some rapids or some sweepers or other issues that pose a danger? Or are all these rivers pretty easy to navigate for somebody who just shows up with a drift boat?
So we do have one stretch that's called the Bear Trap Canyon on the Madison that has some Class 5 rapids in that. And so we don't recommend people do that, particularly in a drift boat, unless you're extremely experienced. And then the Yellowstone River, which is our main floating river, it will depend on flows. At the real high flows, which we'll see in early July, we would recommend that people stay in the Paradise Valley, where it's much flatter, less corners and riffle corners and places to get in trouble. And then as the summer goes on and the water drops, pretty much the whole Yellowstone is available to drift boat anglers.
All right. Now, when it comes to these rivers, I mean, these are famous, iconic rivers for trout fishing, and everyone associates these rivers with fly fishing. Are they open for fishing with spinners, with spoons, or, heaven forbid, even bait?
Yes. There is a stretch of the Madison River that's between the town of Ennis and Quake Lake, which is to the south. And that has a catch-and-release stretch that is closed to fishing with bait, but it's open to any artificial flies or lures. And then the rest of the rivers are all open to bait fishing, fly fishing, spin fishing, whichever you'd like.
And when it comes to these rivers, you know, where are the biggest fish on average, and what is the average big fish in your best rivers?
Well, you know, some of our biggest fish are going to come out of the Yellowstone River, you know, but anywhere we go, a big fish is, you know, anything over 18 inches. Anything over 24 inches we would consider to be a really big fish.
I would consider that a really big fish too, Dan. Let's talk about your guided fishing trips, because you're not just a fly shop offering advice and offering tackle and offering flies. You have guided trips of your own, and I would imagine if folks have never been in your area, it would be a great investment to go out for a day with a guide.
Yeah, the amount that you can learn in one day from a guide could be equal to, you know, a whole week by yourself. And also, it's a great way to have somebody else do all the work. And while you just catch fish, they make you a nice lunch. So it's a very nice experience. And we offer both float fishing trips and walkway trips, depending on person's preference.
Fantastic. And what is your pricing for a day on the water?
So a full day trip for one or two people is $530. A half day trip is $430.
And I guess I've got to ask, are you full up most of the summer, or can people literally walk into the fly shop and book a trip for the next day?
There are a lot of days where we're already, you know, booked for the day. So it's best to call as soon as you know your plans and when you're going to be in Bozeman, because we do end up being full, I would say, you know, three-quarters of the summer. So it can be difficult just to walk in and get a trip.
All right. Speaking of walking in, where is the location, or should I say locations, for the River's Edge Fly Shop?
So we have two shops. We have one that's on North 7th Avenue in Bozeman proper, and that's at 2012 North 7th. And then we have a second location that's out west of Bozeman, 8 miles at, in Four Corners on 59 North Star Lane.
All right, we have got to go. But folks, if you want to find out more about fishing some of these classic western streams in Montana, go to their website at the River's Edge Fly Shop. It's really easy, theriversedge.com. TheRiversEdge.com. Sign up for the newsletter, check out the fishery reports, and make plans to head to Southwest Montana and do that trout fishing trip of your dreams. Dan, thanks for telling us all about this on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products are designed and built for you right here in the USA. Fish Fighter products are used by the top fishing guides in the Northwest because they know having the right equipment is imperative to a successful fishing trip. With our Relentless Series tackle drays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, Fish Fighter products makes the gear you can count on. Find out more at fishfighterproducts.com.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge. You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. It's time to talk conservation. Last week, we talked about derelict fishing nets. This week, we're talking about derelict crab pots, abandoned and untethered in our waters on the bottom of the seafloor. You'll find them all over the bottom of Puget Sound. You'll find them all over the bottom of Maryland's Chesapeake Bay. And they're very harmful to the marine life there, not just to the crabs that continue to be caught in them either. With us here to tell us more about this problem in Washington's Puget Sound region is Jason Morgan with the Northwest Straits Foundation. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me, John.
So, Jason, I've been seeing some maps lately, and I've been astounded by the number of derelict crab pots that are sitting at the bottom of Puget Sound. I understand there's 614 off the Guaymas Channel near Anacortes, the gateway to the famed San Juan Islands, another 230 near Mukilteo. Do we have any sort of handle on how many of these abandoned crab pots litter the bottom of Puget Sound?
Yeah, it's pretty astounding, John. You know, a few years back, we did a research project, and there is an estimated over 12,000 crab pots that are lost in the Puget Sound region every year. Both a commercial and recreational problem, but the majority of those are recreational. And kind of put it into context, there's over 200,000 recreational crab licenses sold in Puget Sound every year, and also up to 60,000 of those are new crabbers every year. So there's a lot of people on the water and a lot of inexperienced people on the water causing this problem.
12,000 lost crab pots a year. That is absolutely amazing to me. How did they get there? I presume this isn't like, you know, fishing nets where they're just lost or they're at the end of their life and thrown into the sea. How are they getting there?
You know, of course, nobody wants to lose their gear. Most oftentimes, it is user error, you know, and that's what we're really focusing on, because obviously we can't remove 12,000 crab pots every year. You know, with all these new crabbers coming in, you know, for about $30, you can go to your local marine supply store. You can go to Walmart, and you can get a crab pot, your line, and a buoy, and think you're ready to go. But that's not it. So those $30 pots are extremely lightweight. You know, we look at the number one problem is these lightweight pots. You know, so the number one thing we're telling people to do is to add weight to those pots. If you have a lightweight pot and you put it in the water and there's any change in tides, you know, creating any type of current, it's really easy for those pots to move. And once the pot moves, it's going to be pretty hard for you to find it. Another one is length of line. And, you know, if you're crabbing in 50 feet of water, 55 feet of line is not going to do it. You have to account for those changes in tides. That's going to change your depth and currents moving along. So we recommend extending your line at least a third of what the water's depth is. Those are the two biggest factors that we're really trying to push out there right now.
Let's talk about the harm that these abandoned or lost crab pots do to marine life. Now, a lot of folks think, well, once my bait's out of the pot, it's not going to do any harm. But that's not true at all, is it?
No, it's not. They continue to do what they're designed to do, which is catch marine life, particularly crab. That same research project where we got the estimated number of pots lost, we did a mortality study. And what came out of that was there's an estimated 180,000 harvestable male Dungeness crabs are lost in these derelict crab pots every year.
So I was looking at some of the photos on the Facebook page, and like you said earlier, you know, these crab pots, they continue to do their work. A lot of them were just chock full of crabs, and they've been down on the bottom for a long time.
Yeah, you know, and crab pots are designed, you know, if it becomes lost, they're designed to supposedly be able to allow crab to escape by have some type of escapement mechanism that's tied on with a biodegradable cord that degrades in the marine environment. But what we've learned through our removals and research is that a lot of these escapement mechanisms are ineffective. So even though a crab pot is technically disabled, they are continuing to catch and kill crab. You know, it's kind of a self-feeding mechanism because crabs will eat just about anything, including themselves. Each other is a better way of putting it. So, you know, crab pots will get trapped in a pot. They'll die. Another crab will see it as food, go in and eat that guy or gal and die, and it just keeps happening.
That is amazing and disheartening as well. As we both know, they've actually closed down crabbing in the southern part of Puget Sound this year because of low abundance of Dungeness crabs down there. I'm not saying this is necessarily due to lost crab pots, but I'm guessing that's a factor.
Yeah, it probably does factor in that at some point. I think there's a lot more going on down there that's causing that problem. But obviously, if we're losing crab in these crab pots, that's going to account to a lower population without a doubt.
You know, I was doing some research before we went on the air, and about a decade ago, there was a similar situation that happened in Maryland's Chesapeake Bay. The blue crab commercial fishery was shut down after low abundance of crab, and then they started paying fishermen to remove lost crab pots, and it was a very successful program. As a matter of fact, there are studies that indicate that after the removal of a percentage, they couldn't get them all, but after removing a percentage of these crab pots, the blue crab harvest increased 27%. Do you think something,
wow.
Yeah, I know, amazing number. Do you think something similar can happen in Washington's Puget Sound for the Dungeness and rock crab?
Yes, you know, and there is something kind of similar going on now. So here in Puget Sound, when the recreational crabbing season is open, 2 days out of the week, the season is shut down. So 5 days a week is open, 2 days a week is closed. On those closed days, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, they go and they do what they call gear sweep. So they go, and anywhere they see buoys, they'll pull the gear, you know. And in the past, not a whole lot of funding and time was dedicated to that. But as last year, that changed, and they're really ramping that up. And they went out and removed, I think, about 2,000 last year, you know, and we're removing about 1,000 crab pots a year ourselves. So between those two efforts, I think we're making a dent, and Department of Fish and Wildlife are dedicated to continue to ramp up and improve those gear sweeps. And I think that's going to help a lot, just getting that gear out of the water before it does become derelict.
So, Department of Fish and Wildlife, the gear sweeps, obviously, those are the visible ones that aren't necessarily abandoned, that are just left in the water. Right. Sometimes these are poachers that are at work or people just not paying attention to the rules. What is the Northwest Straits Foundation doing to get these derelict abandoned pots from off the seafloor where they're not tethered anymore?
We do the in-the-water removal, so where the buoys are no longer on the surface. And the way we do that is, first, where we identify priority areas, because obviously 12,000 crab pots all over Puget Sound, that's not something you can tackle like that. So we identify areas where we know there's going to be a high density, where there's a lot of crabbing happening, and there's a lot of potential causes for pot loss. And we start off by doing a side scan sonar survey to identify them, and then we remove them with divers so we have minimal impact when we are removing the gear. And all this kind of ties into what Fish and Wildlife is doing as well, because I'm not sure the exact number, but every recreational crab license that is sold, a portion of that money goes toward the management of derelict fishing gear. So a portion of your crab license dollars goes to DFW removing the gear off of the water and goes to funding derelict crab pot removal, which we are doing as well.
We are out of time, but before we go, let's direct people to a website where they can find out more about this problem, educate others so that their friends aren't losing crab pots, and maybe donate to the cause, too.
Excellent. Yeah, if those of you listening, if you could go to derelictgear.org, if you go to that website, man, we have lots of tips and tricks to help you be a successful crabber, not lose your pot, bring more crab home. We also have links to apps on there and websites that can help you with knowing your tides and currents and when to set your gear. And we also have a series of instructional videos on there to demonstrate how to properly set up your crab pot.
There you go, folks. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. The website to go to, derelictgear.org. Again, that's derelictgear.org. Jason, thanks for the work that you and others at the Northwest Straits Foundation are doing for crabs in Puget Sound and other marine life, too.
Yeah, thank you for your time, John. I appreciate it.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Oh, honey, it sure is a beautiful day to be out on the water.
It sure is. And you know what? I've got something special for you today.
You do?
Yep. It's a wedding ring. It's gold, it's pretty, and it hangs on and won't let go.
Oh my gosh, honey, I love you.
I love you too, babe. Here you go.
But that's a fishing lure.
Well, of course it is. It's a Max Wedding Ring Spinner. It's been catching trout, kokanee, walleye, and panfish since 1969. What did you think it was?
I thought it was a wedding ring.
Oh.
Max Wedding Ring Spinner. It's a great lure, but maybe they should have named it something else. Look for it wherever you buy sporting goods.
You jerk!
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it from May 1st through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. We make products for the relentless fishermen who know that big fish are caught by those who put in the work. With our Relentless Series tackle drays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA, Fish Fighter products won't let you down. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and this portion of the show was brought to you by Fish Fighter Products. They're based in Mountain Home, Idaho, and they sell accessories for your fishing boat direct to you at fishfighterproducts.com, like the awesome bait tray they have that will let you put everything you need in one place and allow you to plug cut that herring or anchovy perfect every single time. I've got another reminder for you about that Rapala Super Shad Wrap giveaway that we're doing. We've got four of these beautiful lures and HD finish to give away. It's worth $60. If you want a chance to win them, just go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio, like and follow our page, go to the post where we have this, and just let us know what station you're tuning into today, and you are entered for a chance to win. If you don't have Facebook, don't worry, I understand. Just go to our website, America Outdoors Radio. Give us the same information on our contact page. And again, you're entered for a chance to win this $60 lure package we're giving away this weekend. We've got some wildlife news for you. And as you may know, survival rule number one, when encountering a big game predator such as a bear or a mountain lion, is don't ever, ever run away from that animal, because it often triggers a predatory instinct which can cause it to run you down and kill you in a hurry. Apparently, this rule may apply to bison as well. That's what a marathon runner in Alberta, Canada found out a couple of weeks ago. From Fox News, we learned 26-year-old Craig Nielsen was out on a morning run in Elk Island National Park when he came across a bison grazing in a ditch. Nielsen initially thought seeing the bison was cool, but that coolness turned to cold fear as the bison began charging him. Nielsen ran towards a cluster of trees, figuring the 2,000-pound animal wouldn't be able to follow him in there. However, that brute of a bison outran marathon man Nielsen and gored him in the left butt cheek. Nielsen did make it to the trees after that and was able to flag down a passing tourist who summoned an ambulance. At last check, Nielsen, who received 7 stitches for his wound, still finds it uncomfortable to sit down. Continuing with the theme of when animals attack, we take you to Yellowstone National Park. And from the Billings Gazette, we learn a 51-year-old employee of the Mammoth Hot Springs Hotel was flown to a hospital earlier this week after being attacked by a cow elk. The woman, Charlene Triplett, was outside the hotel she worked at when the cow, which was protecting a nearby calf, rose up on its hind legs and struck Triplett multiple times with its front legs. Triplett is the second person to be injured by an animal at Yellowstone this spring. Last month, a bison, yeah, those bison, they are mean, butted a woman in the thigh, causing minor injuries after she encountered it on a trail near Old Faithful. The National Park Service advises visitors to keep at least 25 yards from elk and bison, and now you know why. Next on America Outdoors Radio, we're talking to Charlie Moore. He is the star of a television show that you've probably seen called Charlie Moore, No Offense. It combines not just fishing, but travel and fine dining too. Great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it, John.
So tell our listeners a little bit more about your very unique fishing show, which is unlike any I've ever seen before.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's about the lifestyle. It's about, travel. It's about food. It's about history. It's about the fishing. It's about the people. It's kind of like I go into your world. You know, every celebrity that we've had on, I kind of, if I play basketball or throw the football with Tom Brady, he comes into my world and that kind of thing. But really, when you travel, you know, John, it's all about the experience, and we try to capture that in each and every episode wherever we go.
Well, you certainly have done a lot of travel, and you really capture it well on your television show. But let's take a couple of minutes to talk about some of your favorite summer fishing destinations. You're an East Coast guy, and that's okay, because, you know, a lot of us are traveling to the East Coast. Where do you like to fish in the summer? And I know you love to catch smallmouth bass.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I've been on TV 24 years. You know, we traveled the world. I mean, and there's so many great places that I never, ever can pick one place. Take, for example, out your neck of the woods, you know, Clear Lake. You know, I just absolutely, you know, love it. There's so many great resorts in that area that I fished two or three times. The Topwater Frog out in that area, the lake is beautiful. So, you know, going to San Diego and catching some calico bass and a kayak, I mean, how can you not do that? I do that once a year with my friends out in San Diego. Back home, I mean, you know, Lake Champlain is probably the best fishery in the entire country. There's no better smallmouth bass fishery in the entire country than fishing Lake Champlain. So, I mean, there's so many, you know, of course, we have a house in Florida, so we love to fish Florida for the, you know, the redfish and the snook and all the fish that are down there. So, really, it's about just, you know, going to places and fishing and having fun.
And it's obvious that you do that. And again, I want to get into a little bit more about your show, Charlie Moore, No Offense, because you spend time fishing on every show, but you really take us to some places. And usually a fine restaurant is involved. How do you figure out where to go for the good eats in any particular town you visit?
There's no question about it. Everything that we do is pretty realistic on the show. We ask the people when we get into town, we give a couple of restaurants a call. So we always ask the locals, like, hey, you know, where's the best clam place in town? Where's the best burger joint in town? And we go out there and kind of like the food, and sometimes it's not my bag of tea. Food thing is another element, you know. It's like when you're on so long, if you're a shark and you don't swim, you die. We try to get a little bit more creative, and, you know, certainly as the shows became more successful, we had more time to hang out for a couple days, and when we did, we were like, hey, let's check out some restaurants, and then we started filming them, and it just kind of took off.
What are some of the shows coming up this summer we're going to get to enjoy?
We travel all over the country. We got some shows with Johnny Damon, and we hooked up with Roger Clemens and talked with him in Florida, and then we went over to Texas, and we got some stuff going on with a tennis professional in Texas, and, you know, we got some really good shows that are happening. We went to Colorado, and we did one from Fort Collins, Colorado. We did one from Denver. We try to hit all over the world and all over the country mostly, and, you know, love to get to the West Coast a little bit more, but it's just a matter of the right kind of stage for it. But love to get to the coast and do a little fishing out there, and hopefully we can do that soon.
Well, we would love to have you at Fish Camp in the Columbia River Gorge one of these Septembers to tangle with some sturgeon and some salmon, too. But until then, where can folks catch your show?
We are syndicated all over the world. We're about to sign a big deal with Amazon Prime and Hulu that will be carrying all the new episodes and upcoming episodes exclusively. So that's going to be a really awesome deal for all of us. But, you know, AT&T Sports and Roots Network out in your area is where we're at. If you go to charliemoore.com, you know, there'll be a schedule lineup there. But out in your neck of the woods, we air two or three times a week on the Roots Network, and we're certainly proud to have the relationship with them. And I hope people enjoy the show and have fun, and really that's what the show is all about.
Well, you do a great job. And folks, again, the show, it's Charlie Moore, No Offense. It's about fishing. It's about travel. It's about fine dining, too. I really think you're going to like it. What's your website so folks can catch up with you?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. I really do appreciate it. Love to come out in your neck of the woods at some point, like you said, and really kind of explore it and get to meet the people out there. If they're interested in a little bit more to do with me, you can definitely visit Shop Mad Fish or charliemoore.com.
That's charliemoore.com, charliemoore.com, to find out about Charlie Moore, No Offense, and his other TV shows, too. Thanks for taking the time today, Charlie. Really appreciate it.
John, we'll see you on the West Coast.
I'm afraid we are running out of time. One last chance to go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. Like our page. Look for the post where we're giving away those 4 Rapala Super Shad Wrap Lures in HD finish, and let us know what station you're listening to for a chance to win. If you don't have Facebook, go to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com and contact us through our contact us page. And again, let us know what station you're listening to. You're entered for a chance to win this $60 lure package giveaway. If you missed part of our show, you can always catch last week's edition of America Outdoors Radio on demand through Stitcher or Podbean. Just look for and follow America Outdoors Radio to do so. You can also hear us online Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkAmericaRadio.us. It's the new voice of conservative talk radio, and we are proud to be there. School is getting out, and that means it's time to take the family outside to fish, hike, paddle, camp, shoot, and explore all that summer has to offer you this year. I do hope you're blessed in the week ahead, and for that matter, all summer long. Remember, it is your country and your outdoors.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands so future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. Join the group that makes a difference. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.